Hello and welcome to the Joyful Doctor podcast. My name is Dr. Caroline Walker, and in today's episode, you'll be hearing from another inspiring healthcare professional all about managing the highs and lows of life as a caring person. Keep listening to find out how you can bring more joy into your life. Welcome to this latest episode of the Joyful Doctor podcast. I'm really, really excited to have with me today Tom Dillon. Hi, Tom. Welcome.
Hi, Caroline. Thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here with you.
Really lovely to see you as always, Tom. I normally hand over to my guests to introduce themselves, but I'd really just like to share a little bit about how we met, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I launched Joyful Doctor 5 or 6 years ago now, and I've been coaching for a while, but I was feeling a bit stagnant in my learning around coaching, and a friend of mine who I love and trust had pinged me this link to your coaching diploma that you run. And she said, what do you think of this? Do you think it looks any good? And I looked at it and I was just blown away. I was thinking, oh my God, this looks so amazing. This looks so much fun. It looks interesting. It looks so well pitched for, like, you know, doctors like me who are kind of quite bright, got a bit of game, bit of experience, but really want to learn a lot about coaching, but perhaps don't want to spend tens of thousands of pounds or years of our time dredging through writing millions of essays and things like that. And so it really appealed. And obviously I got in touch with you and ended up doing the diploma, and I absolutely loved it. It was a very, very transformational experience for me personally. Lovely. So thank you, because, you know, I know I said it at the time, but it wasn't just a learning experience for me. And I think one of the things I love about it, and we'll talk a bit more about it as we go through the podcast episode today, is that it's a very personal journey as well. So I've introduced a little bit about how we met, but perhaps you could just let our listeners know a bit about you and who you are and, why you're here.
So thank you for that, Caroline. It's lovely to be introduced. As well as running the Your Coaching Journey Doctor's Transformational Coaching Diploma, I am a coach. So that's very much still part of my life. I love my coaching. So today I've been out, I've seen a client at lunchtime. I did some practice coaching with some of our students this morning and then went and did a coaching session. So that is still very much, and I am a transformational coach. I do talk to people about transformation they want to bring about in their lives. So that's, it does what it says on the tin. And so as well as those two things, I also do a weekly podcast with my business partner, Helen, the Your Coaching Journey podcast, which is for doctors who have an interest in coaching, whatever stage of their career they're at. And I also am an author. So I wrote a book, Agile Resilience, Psychological Guide to Resilience in the Workplace. Yeah, it's aimed at individuals and really about how they can navigate organisations who perhaps don't have as much interest in their resilience as they do.
And you weren't always just working with doctors, were you? I mean, when we met, you hadn't yet gone into that as a specialist.
Well, no, actually, when we'd met, I wasn't running this course, but... Yeah. And I was going to mention this about my less joyful moments. Before that, I was actually running the programme for the NHS at Walsgrave Hospital in Coventry.
Right, yes.
So obviously that got shut down during COVID. So was resurrected online, which is exactly how we came to meet.
We then met. You had a couple of doctors on that course, didn't you, with my cohort? And I think, and I spotted straight away, I was like, this is something more doctors need to be doing. Taking time out of their incredibly busy and stressful lives to learn in a really lovely, validating environment, to learn new skills that not only help you in your professional life, but also in your personal life.
And I think that's very much the case for the people that come onto the course. So the doctors that come... I think a lot of the coaching training that goes on in the NHS comes from a management, leadership and management slant. Yeah. So I think we definitely try to stay away from that. And we're trying to train people to be transformational coaches, to work with the person in front of them, to bring joy and meaning into their lives in a way that it perhaps isn't there at the time that they come across them. So we definitely take that view that we are trying to help the individual lead a better life.
And often doctors are coming forward. I mean, we've had now, is it over 100 doctors
through
the course with you, and wonderful, wonderful feedback coming back every cohort, which is lovely to see. Many come when they're perhaps at a crossroads in their career or they're struggling in some way to manage a balance, work-life balance, or they're just wanting a space. reconnect with themselves, with what they want to do. And you talk about transformation a lot, and obviously it's in the name of the course. Mm. It's not an everyday word, is it? And it can be sort of stigmatized a bit, but I think the essentials of it is making a change of some sort.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the doctors that have been through the course. I think over the 6 months that they're with us, there is some transformation that happens just in the way they think about themselves and about their work. So I did get worried at one time because a lot of doctors were saying, well, I'm going to leave my time. Oh, well, hang on, we need doctors. But actually, as it sort of balanced itself out, we have some doctors that do make a career change or they move into the education side of the NHS and things like that. So I was on the coaching call this morning, the co-coaching workshop I ran. There was a lady who's moved from being a GP and she's going to do psychotherapy. That's now her calling. And she's so much happier having made that decision. The people come and they say, actually, what this has allowed me to do is reconnect with my role. And for me to think about how I can do that in a way that brings me joy, in a way that I've lost that somewhere along the line and I'm not sure how I lost it. But actually, this has allowed me to reconnect. I'm happy now that we're keeping some doctors where they are and they're just happier to be where they are. And then other doctors who, you know, for one reason or another, it's not for them anymore and they move on.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this. I shared a statistic on social media this week about how in 2022, one in five GPs under the age of 30 left the profession. And it raised a lot of mixed feelings in me. And,
yeah, of course.
But what I was reflecting on is where we're coming at from the Joyful Doctor is that it's about that individual doctor making the right choice for them.
Yes.
So if what I want is for doctors to stay in medicine, if that's what they want to do and to be supported and have the right environment to support that, but if they want to leave or they want to develop a portfolio career, you know, then that's absolutely fine as well. So it's all about kind of encouraging, giving that permission and that support to anything is possible here. You know, these are very bright, capable, you know, brilliant individuals who often think that they are just trained to do one thing and can kind of think quite narrowly about their options. And I think that's where coaching and learning to be a coach as well can be really powerful for doctors. Is that something you...
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say you mentioned portfolio careers. So I think a lot of the doctors that have been through our course have gone on to say, well, I'm going to carry on doing 2 days a week, perhaps as a GP, and then I'm going to build this in as well. And I'm going to do some appraisals. And so having that mix of work, which for a lot of people will just the variety will suit them, won't it?
Yeah. And it's
also the intensity of being a GP or being a doctor of any form. Having a couple of days of that for some people is enough.
Yeah.
But having them in the system for a couple of days is probably better than them leaving altogether. So,
absolutely. And I think there's a lot of external pressures, there's cultural pressures, there's all those limiting beliefs we carry in ourselves as we learn about on the course, which is really interesting. And I think it's about opening up that permission and that space to go, actually, it is okay to make a choice here and to think, what am I enjoying, what am I not, and where do I want to go? And speaking of enjoying things, I've completely forgotten to ask you our first question, which we ask everyone, which is, what does it mean to you to be joyful?
Well, I think I'm very lucky. I don't use the word gratitude an awful lot, but I'm very grateful for the position that I now find myself in. So, and this is really as a result of COVID, but I have those four elements to my role and I enjoy all of them. All of them bring me joy. So when I'm coaching, I like nothing better than to have a really deep conversation with someone about their life. That fills me with joy. And training people to coach. When we start a new cohort, we've got one starting next week. So when we bring a new group of doctors together, that is so lovely because I know the journey they're going to go on over 6 months. Yeah. So it's wonderful to bring that. And you know, everyone's a little bit apprehensive to start with and they don't want to say too much. But I know that within a few sessions, they will be talking very freely. And that's one of the, I think, powerful things about our course, because we only have small numbers on the course. Everyone bonds and everyone, and they just come and they're really open with each other and they form those connections. And I know that's going to happen. I trust that process now.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the course, by the end of the 6 months, they all leave the best of friends. So I have a value of connection. It's one of my core values. And so it's lovely to connect with those people during that 6 months. But what's even more special is that they form that connection that carries on beyond me. Like I have nothing to do with it. Once they've gone, they're still together and I you know, have people coming back for co-coaching and things like that. And they say, well, we still keep in touch. We still meet up. So that's lovely, isn't it?
It's really important as well. I think Dr. Rachel Morris and I talk a lot about this, about the importance of having like your wingmen around you, your peers, support, your group, and those groups that form when you've had that time together to get to know each other, not just as doctors actually, but as people, and to go through that experience. It's very bonding and it's lovely. And I'm still in touch with my group as well.
Special. So the coaching and the obviously the training and then the podcasting, which is new. So that's new this year. I've been wanting to do it for about a year. I finally convinced Helen that it would be a good thing to do. And she's come on board and she's very good at it. She's better at it than I am, to be honest.
You've got a very silky voice.
But yes. People keep saying that to her. They want my voice. But no, she's very good at it. But I think I didn't realise how much I was actually going to enjoy recording the podcast. And we will fall about laughing at something I've said or whatever. So that's, again, a joyful part. Now, the writing, which is the fourth element. So I've written a book, I'm writing another book. There's a pressure that comes with writing. As you well know, there's a pressure that comes with writing a book. So it's not always joyful, but there's something creative in that. And that, again, that fills, I've got another value of creativity. So it fulfills that creativity.
The joyfulness comes from the spending your time doing the things that you most enjoy and the ones that are in alignment with your values.
Yeah, and it's taken me a long time to get here.
Yeah.
But I feel like now I've arrived in a place where actually all of the activities that I do in relation to work are joyful. I don't really have bits here. Well, you know, there's a bit of accounting to do and stuff. But I give that to someone else to do these days.
Lovely. So, delegating. Yeah. What about a time when you weren't so joyful? Tell us about that. We like to destigmatise that stuff at Joyful Doctor.
Yeah, I was reflecting on this. And, you know, there have been a number of times during my life where I've not been joyful. But probably the beginning of COVID, the first lockdown, was probably the most unjoyful time. And so I was, at the time, I was running this program in the NHS, coaching and training program, and that got shut down straight away because suddenly doctors weren't that interested in learning to coach. They had more important things to do. So, you know, that fully understandable. I was also doing some coaching and training at Warwick Medical School, and that got shut down as well. They just suddenly weren't spending any money. So everything that I was doing just suddenly got put on hold. So there was suddenly that threat to my livelihood that had never been there before. I've always managed to kind of weave about and find some work. And I didn't know when it was going to come back. So that was a really scary time. Mm. And obviously everyone had the existential threat that came with COVID. But at the same time, we had a pretty traumatic time as a family. So my nephew, Fred, had been diagnosed with leukemia the year before. So summer of 2019. And he was seriously ill during that first part of COVID. And he was in Birmingham Children's Hospital and they were in quarantine for a while. So his mum was with him, but no one else was allowed to visit.
Yeah.
And then at the beginning of May, he died just after his 14th birthday. So that was obviously, from a family perspective, really traumatic. And we had to go through all the thing of only having 10 people at the funeral. So my children, his cousins, couldn't go to the funeral, things like that. So that was, I fully recognise that for my sister, her husband and Fred's brother, that trauma was infinitely worse than my trauma. But it was, for the family, it was a particularly traumatic time. So, but they've, you know, they're 3 years on and they are, I'm always blown away by how well they're dealing with it. Well, they're not dealing with it, but how well they're continuing to live and keeping his memory alive. They do lots of fundraising for cancer research for children. I have the utmost respect for them and the way that they are carrying on keeping Fred in their life.
I think those events, I call them before and after events, because it feels as if there was your life leading up to that and then your life after. They're so significant, aren't they? That everything sort of shifts on an axis a little bit when something like that happens. And
yeah, my daughter posted a video of herself and Fred on a ride some years ago, probably 4 years ago, where she was obviously terrified of being on this like big drop ride and he's saying, "You don't look down," which is the name of their charity. but it was lovely, and I said, I just posted on Facebook, I equal measure of tears and smiling.
Yeah,
it was lovely to see him moving and alive. Yeah. Obviously that's tinged with that sadness of
I lost my nephew to a stillbirth actually at full term, and that was a similarly really devastating event for our family, and it's one of the things that anchors me actually when I'm struggling with other things, because it really helps to put things in perspective. Doesn't it, when something that awful and tragic happens, and it's nice that positive things can come from it.
Yes, and I struggle to see the positive in Fred dying. I don't see that, but you know, my sister does find a way to carry him forward. And you know, thinking about more about the business side of what was going on at the time for me, there was definitely some learning in going through that whole COVID process of suddenly my whole business ended. And I'm a great fan of, there's a book called Who Moved My Cheese?
Yes.
By Dr. Spencer Johnson, who was a physician. And it's all about the cheese is the metaphor for all the stable elements of your life. Yeah. So, you know, money and income and business.
Yeah, things like COVID make us realise just how vulnerable we are, actually.
And obviously at that time, someone had moved my cheese and I had to find new cheese. And actually what ended up being new cheese was the doctor's transformational coaching diploma.
And I love...
A very nice flavoured cheese. A very delicious flavour that cheese has.
I do love a bit of cheese. And you, I love metaphor as well. I know that's something that you use a lot, as I do. And it can be a big part of coaching and its impact, can't it? That how do we kind of, we go through these really complex, difficult things in life, but actually being able to just distill it into an idea or an image can be so powerful. And so thank you for sharing with us the, you know, the highs and the lows of your journey so far. I wanted to ask you today about, you know, what it's like working with doctors as a coach, as a trainer, training doctors to coach, what you're observing, you know, what are you learning about doctors? What do they bring? I'd just love to hear your thoughts, really.
Lovely people is what I would say. I've not met a doctor on my course I didn't like. I think, you know, we have noticed some commonalities. Obviously, every doctor is individual and unique, but there are some common elements that tend to show up. Yeah. So obviously, they're all very compassionate. We actually ran a workshop using personality profiling. And one of the dichotomies is thinking and feeling. And everyone that attended the workshop had a feeling preference rather than a thinking preference. And I was saying, I was surprised by that, because I know that everyone's compassionate, but I thought you would have to be more logical and...
I guess you're bright. You have to get good grades. Yes. It's different, isn't it? And I think I think there's many, many things you can do in the world if you're bright, but to be a doctor, you...
But what someone on that workshop pointed out was, Tom, we're all self-selecting. We've all come to your coaching program. Of course, we're compassionate. We want to be coaches.
So. No, but I think you're right. I do think doctors are highly compassionate, generally, as a general. Yeah. There's the odd psychopath, but I think generally we are, and sometimes a little bit invested in, you know, looking after others' needs rather than our own. And I think a big part of what we do at Joy for Doctors is help doctors to practice self-compassion as much as compassion for others, because it's the same skill. It's just that we're not very practiced at it, I think, as doctors, and we're not role modeled it particularly well. So I think, so compassionate. What else do you need?
Yeah, and I think on that sort of role modeling, obviously, as doctors, everyone is trained sort of to behave in a certain way, certainly in terms of consultations. And because of the time pressures of a consultation, sort of trained to almost close the conversation down.
Absolutely. So to structure it and to and to direct it and this is something you have to unlearn to be a non-directive coach, isn't it? And that's one of the most useful skills. That, you know, we learn to actively listen, but we only actively listen for a certain length of time. Yeah. You know, it's like we'll actually listen for a few seconds or a minute, but we'll shut it down, as you say. And I think as coaching, some of the most powerful conversations I've had, I've hardly said a word in an hour, like maybe six things, if that, in an hour. So,
So that's something that we've noticed, that everyone that comes says they're a good listener when they arrive. And then by the time they leave, they say, I thought I was a good listener, but actually my listening's at a different level now. So I think there's definitely something about that. Also, I think because of that closing down of the conversation to keep it in within that time frame, doctors tend to ask a lot of closed questions, which again, when you're trying to expand on someone's thinking, you want to ask questions that are going to open up that thinking. Yeah. And sometimes they'll think they're asking an open question, but it's not at all. So I was listening
to... Tell me more about that, Tom.
Yes. So I was listening to someone talking about this recently, and they were saying that doctors, as the experts, do a thinking in thing with their patients and with when they start coaching with their coachees. So they are the expert, and they'll listen, like you say, for a little bit, but then they'll go, oh, so I can see what's wrong here, and I know how to solve this, so let me tell you what I think and what the diagnosis is and what you should do about it. So that's how doctors tend to come to coaching, because that's how the train. So then it's to start thinking about how the person in front of you can think out for themselves.
Because it's about saying, I actually don't have responsibility in this conversation. Yeah. The responsibility is yours as the client, as the person on the receiving end. It's entirely in your hands where we go with this. And that's
And I don't think that doctors can help themselves at that beginning. They just want to go, oh, I know the answer. Let me tell you.
Yeah, we certainly find it very difficult to get out of that habit. And I know, certainly as I coach still, I will still occasionally have to signpost that to myself and be like, I really would love to offer a bit of advice here, or I'd love to go slightly into a more mentoring approach here. And so, it's a very, very hard thing to let go of completely. But when you do, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The power. Well,
and it's so empowering for someone to come up with their own answer and to have that idea for themselves. And quite often someone will come back to me in the next session and go, oh, I've had this great idea. And I think, well, yeah, I know, because I was there when you had it. I know, but it's lovely that they own that and take that forward. They're much more likely to take whatever ideas they've got forward and take action if they own it.
We know that as well from just from medical, you know, studies that have been done in terms of like compliance with advice or treatment goals or things like that, that often won't do what they've said they're going to do, even if they think they're going to do it. And think this is where things like motivational interviewing and things like that have come in handy as well. And I actually think every doctor should be trained in coaching because it's an incredibly powerful tool.
I was just thinking about that. That people not doing what they're told. There was a lovely book written. I can't remember the name of the guy that wrote it. Change or Die. Snappy title. There was some research in that that suggested that coronary artery bypass patients in America, when they were told, you either change the way that you live or you'll be dead in 2 years.
Mm.
2 years later, 90% of them hadn't changed the way they live.
Yeah.
So that, and it's just that. We're trying to connect with the wrong thing, aren't we? We're trying to connect with fear rather than joy and what you could do if you did change your life.
And this is what I think doctors at the moment, I see a lot of doctors really missing and craving, is that connection to the part of them where they were interested and engaged and motivated. Mm. Like you described earlier, those doctors who they can't quite connect to the loving what they do anymore because it's been so busy and so stressful and all of those things, and then just slowly creeps out of it, and you then come for coaching or you learn how to coach, it just opens up again. It's like, oh, what do I love? Like, what did bring me alive as a kid or as a, you know, when I started this job? And I love that. I love seeing that moment in doctors when they're like, oh, well, actually, I loved, you know, skydiving or painting, whatever it is.
Again, we've had several people that have thought, well, actually, I did love art. Well, where's that gone? They're so busy, it gets pushed out, doesn't it? But actually, it just does. Reconnecting with that. So I love dancing, and I've been doing that for about the same time as I've been coaching, about 15 years. And that, if I don't do that every week, I haven't done it. It's interesting, is it? Just that.
And whereas with doctors, I think it's such a slow process where the medicine and the job kind of quietly crowds out the rest of their life over years, and it's only when it gets to a tipping point where it's like they snap or they get unwell, let's say they get burnt out or depressed, or they're thinking about leaving this profession that they thought they would spend their whole lives committed to, suddenly they're thinking about leaving and they're like, what is going on here? Like some other, so they start searching around and they're like, they're looking at other doctors and seeing what are these other doctors doing. And thankfully there's a growing kind of role modeling going on of there's all sorts of wonderful things you can do. And coaching is, for me, is the missing piece of the jigsaw that can get from where you are now, which is maybe stressed and uncomfortable and or lost your passion, or where it is you want to be. Reconnected and joyful and
But I say quite often doctors don't know what they're trying to reconnect to because it's somewhere along the line it's got lost. So I think that coaching space, whether it's spending 6 months on a coaching program or actually having some coaching, I think it just gives you that time and space to actually think about it. So we explore values, we explore motivation, we explore all aspects of life. And I think just that deep dive into, like, well, what do I think? How do I feel about that? That just allows people that space to think, oh, well, actually, this is me.
Yeah.
I've been here all along.
Yeah. And no, it's a bit uncomfortable because no one's going to tell you the right or the wrong way to do it. And I know when I first came on the course, and then I'm sure you observed this in your other doctors that have done the course, there's this sense of, teach us how to do it, like show us the path and we'll follow it because we're quite good, we're, you know, we're motivated and we're keen and we can learn, and but actually there is no set path, is there? And what I love about where you do your diploma is on these main areas of coaching, these really common basic building blocks, if you like, of coaching, and the most common theories that come up and most common strategies and practical ways of coaching that you practice, and we get to taste them, try them out, and see which ones we like. And try them on. If you like it, great. If you don't, you can leave it. You know, it's kind of take what you like and leave the rest, and choose your path and what works for you. And I love that.
Yeah. So we have people leaving the course saying, well, I'm still a very person-centered coach, which is where we start. We start with that person-centered approach. Then others that go, do you know what? I really love Gestalt, and I'm going to go and explore that some more. Because that's something that, and the same with positive psychology.
Positive psychology, that's another common one. Or transactional analysis, I love those. The parent, adult, child stuff. And yes, there's all these really amazing, really useful like techniques and theories. And but you deliver it in such a lovely, it's not heavy, it's interesting, it's not, you know, it's just, I love it. It's very real. And it's like you have your practice coaching sessions where you kind of get to coach and be coached. So you get some actual coaching yourself, which is wonderful. And you get to build your confidence. So, I mean, I'm a massive, big fan of the course, and I've been absolutely delighted that you've been able to offer it out to so many doctors. And I really hope that anybody listening to this that might be interested in, you know, learning how to coach or just having some coaching might get in touch, because it's honestly, it's a life-changing thing, isn't it?
Well, I've said, you know us, and we're very ethical in the way that we approach this. So we don't charge a lot of money. We see people out there charging five times the amount we do for our course.
And that's one of the things I really appreciated, because there's a bit of a myth about doctors being loaded, right? They're often finding it a bit tight as well.
But what we also know, that everyone that goes through the course isn't going to end up being a coach. And we know that. So if you went and spent £10,000 on a course, you might be a bit, oh, I've spent all this money, I'm now not a coach. Whereas if you come and do our course, you'll have spent your money and you've had 6 months exploring yourself and getting to know what you want out of life. And I think, you know, what we charge is actually good value for the personal development that you do, and the life skills that you learn, just which, you know, if you can have really good conversations with everyone around you, and really embed those conversational skills, which is what people do on a course. I think that's good value.
I think it's worth five times, and I'm grateful that you've kept it affordable, because I know many doctors that is a factor, and I want them to be able to do it. So, and you're very, very generously, kindly, if people come to do the course and you mentioned Joyful Doctor, you're kindly being us a little bit of the proceeds as well, so that we can continue to support doctors.
Yes, and also if they mention Joyful Doctor, they get a discount as well.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not really that up on it. I'm not a great salesperson here, yes, you do. You get a discount. What's the discount? Is it
20%? 20% or thereabouts. I'm not sure what it is. It's roughly 20%. But yes, so they just have to put in Joyful Doctor as a code, promotional code, and they get
amazing
the discount.
Amazing. So if anyone is listening to this and wants to check out Tom's course, where can they find it? Where is the best
place? So we are yourcoachingjourney.com.
yourcoachingjourney.com, and we will pop that in the show notes for anybody listening back to this.
Thank you. Our podcast is Your Coaching Journey as a podcast.
Wonderful.
I'm on LinkedIn. Helen's on
and
LinkedIn.
It's a coaching, it's a podcast about coaching for doctors who coach, etc. If you're not a coach and you're a doctor, is it worth a listen, do you think?
We're very niched. It is a podcast about coaching for doctors.
Okay.
So yeah, you could listen in as a doctor, but I think having an interest in coaching, even if you just have do I want to be a coach? Do I want to explore that? I think then it's of interest. And again, we start at the beginning, so the early podcasts are around the person-centered approach. And
nice, okay,
yeah,
so it might be worth starting with some of the earlier episodes if you want to have a listen and have a think. Is this your cup of tea?
It's really interesting producing a podcast that not many people are going to listen to. Because you've got a niche that's Pete, the podcast man that comes. He's always very careful to say, "Oh, your stats are doing really well," and I know they're not in terms of be out there, but in terms of our audience, we're serving our audience.
As a podcast listener, I know that podcasts can change people's lives. Like they've changed my own. So I think if there's one person out there that's got something from this, or one doctor out there that's heard something we've said and gone, okay, maybe I can do X, Y, or Z, then great. Like that's.
And let's say our coaching doctors say, we love your podcast. And that's enough. That's all the adoration I need.
Oh, well.
And I need millions to be listening.
is there anything, like if this was your last chance to talk to doctors out there, like to pass on your wisdom, to say something to them, what would you want to say to them?
I would want to say that there is more time to listen to patients, colleagues, anyone that you have really good conversations with than you would imagine. And actually resisting that temptation to jump in and problem solve within the first minute. If you can leave it for 3 minutes, generally people have said what they want to say in 3 minutes and have made sense of their world in 3 minutes. So if you can hold off, then I think you will have done good work. So, and that obviously all of that ties into learning to coach and the coaching skills that we teach. But I think there is time and space, even in a 10-minute consultation, to just hold off and just see what emerges for that person in front of you. Because sometimes they will solve it for themselves. So that's probably my best tip around.
I love that. There's more time to listen than you realise.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think it's so important when we're stressed, anxious, overwhelmed, busy, we go into that fight, flight, freeze zone, don't we? The sympathetic drive kicks in, we're like rush, 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 trying, and actually what we need to do is pause, slow down, and actually then time expands, doesn't it?
Yeah, and if you are starting a consultation with 10 minutes on your mind, then you're going to rush through it, whereas if you just start your consultation with the person in front of you and just actively listening and just letting them think to the end of their thoughts, then I think, as I say, you will do good work.
I love that. A very challenging thing to do for someone, a doctor with ADHD, I might say, I might add. I recently did a podcast episode about ADHD, and if people listening haven't heard it, please do have a listen, because it's lots of people have come back to me on it and said how helpful it was. Mm. And I shared my own journey with being diagnosed last year, and it's very difficult not to jump in and interrupt. So coaching skills can definitely help if you're like me and find that very challenging. Tom, if people want to get in touch with you, if they'd like to find out more, how can they?
So my email address is tomdillon@yourcoachingjourney.co.uk. So they can just go to the website and connect with us on there. So yourcoachingjourney.com. But either of those two ways will be fine. I'm on LinkedIn if anyone wants to look me up on LinkedIn.
Lovely. And we will put that website address and the email address in the show notes for anyone listening back. Are there any resources that you would recommend?
The podcast is a great place to start. If you're thinking of coaching and thinking, well, I'm not sure whether this is for me, come and listen to the podcast and find out what it's all about. So I think we've got about 30 episodes up now.
Wonderful.
So it starts to chat, and some of them are interviews with doctors that have done the coaching program. So
great.
They give some stuff away on that. So I would just, as far as that's concerned, and actually, as a result of that, we have lots of resources for each episode that people will find interesting. So we've just done an episode on the perma wheel, which comes from positive psychology. So
nice.
Yeah.
And
So there are lots of
you got
resources.
me thinking about listening earlier. And was who is the lady that wrote? Is it Time to Listen or something like that?
Time to think.
Time to Think.
Yes.
That book is
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, and that, and you can. I think there's some YouTube videos and things, but Time to Think is something perhaps I need to have a little look out for as well. Thank you so much, Tom.
You're
It's
very
been
welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me on. It's been a pleasure to, it's always a pleasure to talk to you anyway, Caroline, but it's been a delight to be on your podcast. And we will return the favor. You
Oh,
can
I'd
come
love
and talk
to
on
come on
our
your show, yeah,
podcast.
and please come back on in the future because
Yeah.
we could talk about any. We could talk about all sorts of things. Maybe we could do some top coaching tips or something for doctors or
Absolutely, yeah.
something like that. Just another big shout out for your diploma, which I did myself a few years ago. Absolutely rate. I think it's fantastic. It's brilliant value, and also does thank you generously help us to keep going at the Joyful Doctor to support doctors with their well-being. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank
For
you, Caroline. Thank you for your continued support as well, because I know you're a big advocate of the programme. So thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Joyful Doctor podcast. To find out how the Joyful Doctor can help you or any caring professionals you know, please visit joyfuldoctor.com or check out my book, Permission: How to Feel, Heal and Thrive in a Challenging World, available via our website or Amazon now.